Blog Talk Radio.
When Us presents The Danger of Mind Games. Do you want to get played in, honey, before we get started? I'm thinking that's a yes. Yeah, he's having a little bit of technical difficulty right now. And what we're going to do is we're going to get prayed in with the Lord's Prayer, which is in Aramaic. So hold on, please, and we'll be right back.
Quadasamu.
Shemaniah, Eternal, Dabishmaya, Epara, Halalema, Dishukwana, Yumana.
And we are back. And just so you know, everybody, that is Thomas Shalar Walker. He is the one that is singing the Lord's Prayer. And if you're interested in being connected with him, you can reach out to him through Facebook. So welcome again to One Love, One Connection, One Us. My name is Arlene Cahet, and tonight we are, and my lovely hubby, King Andre Teasdale. You're on now, honey?
Yes, I am. How can you? How do you know?
Okay, beautiful. Okay, and so tonight we are talking about the danger of mind games. So, I don't have very much to say about this this particular subject, mainly because I was never really good at the mind games and the manipulation and things of that nature. And so I recall a time when I tried to do that, and I thought, and I was thinking that that was a thing that people did because, you know, I did not have what you would call proper representation of what a loving relationship would look like. But what I found was I was no good at it. You know, it just was not really a part of my makeup. And all I did was end up just getting more or less like egg on my face. So since I wasn't good at it, I just figured I wouldn't play the game. But, you know, honey, do you have anything to share about this?
Well, the interesting thing about mind games is that it is a very, very dangerous way of dealing with a relationship, because there is something that is working against you finding love, no matter who you are, because love is one of the greatest powers that there is on the planet Earth. And if all of mankind came to the place of understanding the power of love, hate would have no other choice but to no longer exist. Therefore, we have a very, very high responsibility in recognizing the danger of mind games. Why? Because your mind is the battlefield. Your mind is the playground for those forces that are not for your better good, for those forces that want to keep you from finding the love of your life, the love and the joy and the excitement and the enthusiasm that is your birthright. That's what we're talking about. What do you say about that, Arlene?
Well, I definitely agree with you that there is a battle for your mind to do things that would not be in alignment with love. That because the force of love is so powerful that it would not, you know, there are powers that sort of work against you to actually achieving that type of connection. And that truly that the whole journey of love really begins with yourself. But and understanding yourself and getting a deeper understanding, but that the whole concept of games being played in relationship really work against everything that love represents. That, yes, that especially the whole thing with mind games and manipulation, you know, there are industries that have been built on this, on the manipulation
like the
of mind. Well, I wasn't necessarily thinking about the private eye. But I can see your point. But no, I was thinking more or less that the mind games where people are continually manipulated. I know that the games that have to do with caring for people or being responsible for large numbers of people, you're seeing quite a bit of it take place in politics right now. You can also see it in the dynamics between a person who is a prostitution and a pimp. And you see it really in the relationships like maybe between children and their parents, or the way people interact with each other within the relationship, not really understanding that they're doing a great deal of damage because of the mental games and the sort of what I would call emotional instability that those mental games play, keeping people off kilter. There is a continual this thought process that, especially amongst people who are in relationship and have been taught by people on the street that in order to get what you want out of a woman, you've got to mess with her mind, so to speak. And all they do is create emotional instability and unsureness and keep a person in a place of being in a loop. But then perhaps one day, with the mind game, you might end up getting hurt. You might have a situation of getting caught up in a situation like, I remember this movie, A Thin Line Between Love and Hate. I mean, the song explained it. The song itself explained that there was a thin line between love and hate, but there was a movie with Lynn Whitfield and what's the comedian's name?
Martin Lawrence.
Were in the movie. Martin Lawrence, and how you know that woman was really looking for a loving experience, and he was only about the sex. And so when he played her, she went crazy. I mean, and that is a definite possibility of a reality of what could happen when you are not on the up and up with people.
Well, that is true. And see, that's the important thing about recognizing where each person stands when they come to meeting one another, when they come to that place of coming to getting to know you, getting to know all about you, getting to like you, hoping that you like me, because what you end up discovering is that a person could be in a relationship. I learned that song when I was in the second grade. A person could be in a relationship
that was
primarily
from The King and I.
Yeah, but it was funny. That's where I learned it. It was I didn't even know it was from the movie, because I was too young, and all I knew was we used to sing this song in gym class. And the teacher would go, and she would take the little phonograph, and we would do a little dance type of thing. That was so weird. Boy, you talk about a blast from the past. That was over 60 years ago. Whoa. Anyway, what we discover is people sometimes are not on the same page. When you have a person who's in one book of what a relationship should be about, operating with a person who's in another book about what relationships should be about, and they are using strategies and maneuvers of manipulation that fit their book, but you don't recognize that they're in a totally different book, you're going to get that person like Whitfield that's going to be, oh, hell no. And there's going to be hell to pay. But you see, the thing that I find interesting about this topic, the danger of mind games, is it covers a whole range of games that can be played. It can cover what you were speaking of when caring for people in the politics, I like to call it. You know, there's this guy who is like number 45 who had stated so many things that he was going to do, but he merely tricked people into believing that he was going to do these things. But once he got in the office, it didn't happen. You know, you have the pimp and the prostitute, if you will. Their situation is a totally different scenario where the initial onset, from what I recall of that zone, is there's a lonely girl out there by herself who needs protection, but then at the same time, she needs affection. So the pimp identifies this and comes to her quote-unquote rescue at the same time, wheeling her in to his scheme of what his desire is, and that's to make her make money for him. Whether she was already acting in that zone or not, it could be, it could not have been. But that depends on the individual who's playing the part of the pimp. But there's a lot of scenarios that
now
that fall
into situation
that
category.
Go ahead.
I suppose the only reason why I brought it up was because of the level of manipulation that takes place. And one of the things that I will preface and say about that particular situation, I recall some years ago that I actually heard, I was actually listening to a show where I think the people who put the show on were trying to establish what could be done to prevent a person who was, you know, a woman that was considering that lifestyle, to how to prevent them from getting into it. And they had a person who was a pimp on there already, but this is the person who was already damaged. You know, the person who's already damaged already goes to the pimp already knowing what the deal is. And so in that particular situation, there is a bit of an understanding that, yes, that this person is going to give protection, and that person is going to take a percentage of the money while the individual themselves goes ahead and use their body. But then there is a sort of this sort of ongoing dynamic between those people who actually get into that situation of the pimp and the prostitute. And then the thing is that from the pimp's perspective, he has you know, he has a hierarchy of which prostitute gets the most attention. And as the women get to a place where they get tired of being involved in that situation, or, you know, they get themselves cleaned up and straightened out, they may fall away, and the pimp themselves ends up getting played because they end up with, you know, the person that is the lesser of all of the women that he had at some point. Yeah,
well,
I'm not going to even bother.
It gets deeper. I've been close to that zone of activity, of which, you know, I can state that there's two types of situations that I'm familiar with. One is where the unknowing female who is in some sort of distress is befriended by a trickster. And it comes to a place to where she could have some innocence about her and not be aware of what this is all about. Like, let's say, for example, somebody from the Midwest that decides to run away from home and ends up coming into a big city and is identified by one of these tricksters who will draw her in, play her, and then set up the situation to where he gets the goods, makes her feel as though she is his main squeeze, but then wonder why he's not always around, et cetera, et cetera, so forth and so on, to then discover that this guy is actually playing the game. Because when it comes to that particular place, what ends up happening is that when he's ready for her to produce, he brings somebody else into the picture. And it can get very convoluted to the point of sexual molestation or rape or whatever you may want to call it. But we don't want the show to be about that. But then there's also the pimp who identifies that there are ladies of the night that are out there who need protection. So then they are already on the same level, so to speak. And the word on the street will speak for where you need to be in order to have the protection that you desire or that is best without having to suffer as much as somebody else. Because every pimp ain't the same. And the roughness that can occur in those situations can be very dramatic. But that was just an example that he's bringing up in regards to some of these mind games. And I just wanted to touch base on that. As you follow that with the mental emotional games that happens in families where there's mind games of that can almost be as bad in actuality, because there is sexual molestation that occurs where mind games are played with children, which is really disturbing. And people wonder how these type of things can happen in the homes where this stuff has been going on for generations upon generations. That does not make it right, nor is there any excuse for such behavior to even occur. But what we see here is the manipulation of dark forces, which is really the deal behind the danger of mind games. And people don't really want to tune into that because they think they have control over what's going on. But the reality here is the love energy and the vibration thereof is a precious thing that is handled haphazardly. And people are being manipulated and not realizing it. I have two poems that I'm going to share. And let's go with Desires of the Flesh first, and then I'll do The Living Through It All. Desires of the Flesh. Desires of the flesh are haunting nonetheless. They wait for any moment to play. Desires of the flesh are waiting for a guest to manipulate and or to sway. Some will say away with the desires that will play to twist and to dance for another day. Others say, please stay to live life and display. Whatever is your will be okay. But those that say away are more aware in many ways that in desires of the flesh, Satan persuades. The last part was actually in the poem.
No, it wasn't.
But that's from an excerpt from Extraordinary Epiphanies of a King, a book in which I have written inspired poetry and prose from the messages of life. And I think it was relatively appropriate for that particular portion of this program because people use sex in many ways to play games. And sometimes they see the conquest of a female as a game to play. Most recently, I've seen women actually do the very same thing. They will play a game with these guys because they know that they can. And they will use the power of flirting. There's another term, it's called flattery. Okay? To manipulate and twist them around their fingers, you know, get their egos all wound up just to shoot them down. I've seen it. It can be ugly. But that's what the danger of mind games can be like. But these dangers are all dark in nature, and people don't want to recognize it because they think that they are in control, but in actuality, they're being manipulated by the darkness in and of itself.
And one of the reasons why I think that it's really important that people understand that is because when you don't operate in a place of honesty and truth, that is which is contrary to what divine love is all about. Whenever you are manipulating other people, you are in fact manipulating yourself because we are all expressions of the divine. Whenever you cause harm to other people, you are actually causing harm to yourself. I mean, and here's the thing, it is a willful act. That it's not one of those things like you happen to step on their button. You yourself are making this conscious decision to manipulate the situation so that you could see what you could get. I know they had, like, I recall a number of years ago, before I met my beloved, that I had this sense that the person that I went out on a date with during the time when I was going through my coaching process, the person that I went out on a date with, I think that they were operating from a space of hurt themselves, but he was trying to, first off, see if I would, you know, tell the truth about my situation and what was going on. And then I recall at one point, now the guy has a credit card. And I guess in his mind, he was seeing whether or not I would make a contribution, like I was going to pass some tests. But he goes to pay for dinner, and he tells me, he starts patting his pocket, and he says, "Oh, I don't have any money." And I'm thinking to myself, "Dude, you got a credit card. If you want me to pay for the tip, just say you want me to pay for the tip. Or at least see if I have it." And anyway, I did happen to have the money for a tip. And, you know, when I put the money on the table, you know, there was sort of this look of a sort of satisfaction on his face, like, oh, this person is a good one, or whatever thing that he had going on. And then I had gone on one more date with the guy after that, and he starts going into this conversation about a credit rating and things of that nature being an important thing, and that, you know, that he was telling me about his situations where women had used him. Used him for his title and his money and things of that nature, and the nature of the conversation was going in the direction of, because I've got the money, I'm the one that's going to be in control, and you have no control because you have no money, but he ended up playing himself, because I had the control of saying, no, I don't really want to be a part of this experience. And I later on just simply told, all I knew was that the situation with him, because of his scars and his damage and things of that nature, and him being hurt, and, you know, and I genuinely think that he was looking for love. But because of how he operated in the space that he operated in, which is he would lead with his money first. He would lead with his title first. And, you know, and the type of experience that he was looking for and the energy that he was operating in, in that energy of manipulation and of control and of all of that space, was contrary to the very thing that he was desiring to bring into his experience.
It almost canceled his own self out. He negated his own self behind such behavior.
Exactly. And which is one of the reasons why, like, after the first date, I didn't think I was going to see the guy again. During when he was taking me home, I said to him, you know, look, I'll just be honest with you. You know, if you really are concerned about people using you or hurting you, you may not want to necessarily lead with your money, because the energy he was operating in, he attracted gold diggers.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's the interesting thing that is about this aspect of the danger of mind games, is you'll end up finding out that you can be your own worst enemy. You're sitting up here thinking that, and it is true that there is something out there that's working against you finding love, but the worst part about it can sometimes be the inner me that that is my enemy. And he didn't apparently know that he was working against his own self. There was a situation I was reading in a book not too long ago to where a man was so cautious in his dealings with a relationship to where when he felt he really found the relationship and they finally set a date for getting married, he wanted to push the envelope and he couldn't help himself. And he comes along with this person that he figures was the right one for him and laid down the law as to what church they're going to go to, how many children they're going to have, everything that he saw in his mind for what he desired and the relationship that he wanted, shutting her totally out of any decision-making process. And her receiving the letter that he sent her, she sent him a letter back, which pretty much said, you know what? You ain't the one. And I ain't putting up with this kind of stuff. So I don't want to see you no more. But he had no idea that he had done anything wrong because of his own mind. The thing about mind games that I think is interesting to express here also is mind games will mess you up. You will end up being in a position, in a state to where you'll have an invalid accusation against somebody else, or somebody could have an invalid accusation against you because of mind games. There can be wrong assumptions because you're putting a story together of something, bits and pieces of this and that, which doesn't even exist, but within your own mind, because you chose to create it. And so you decide to jump the gun over something that didn't even exist, but you are making accusations that it had, and you look like a fool in the long run when there was nothing going on in the first place. Arlene and I, Arlene, you remember the time we was looking at a video where some guy was, I think, trashing this girl's car. And then it was like, she came back and was like, what are you doing? And he was doing all kinds of stuff to the car. And you might remember it better than I do. But then afterwards, it was like, oh, well, I didn't know. You remember that one?
Yes. I forgot what it was. Like, he thought that she was cheating. And I think that she did something for him. Like, she got him a gift or something. There was, you know, he just like really lost his mind, because he told himself a story about what it was that she was doing, and the story manipulated itself and caused him to go into such an emotional frenzy that he was doing something like keying up the car, something really ridiculous.
Something really crazy, yeah.
And just, And, yes, he felt like a fool after it was all.
Yeah.
Because he did it to himself.
Yeah, so here I'll interject another poem that I have called Eye of the Mind. And I'll share some experiences even with that. Well, let me share the experience first. Oftentimes, because of past relationship issues, with an improper relationship with someone else, you have been scarred or left with an impression of an activity or an action that will resurface in some other relationship that you're in, of which you will think, because you had the experience in a previous relationship, that somebody was doing something here, like coming home late and saying something like, "Oh, I was asleep and I forgot. I'm sorry I came home so late, but I fell asleep. I was working." And you're like, "Oh, hell no. You've been out with some nigga." Oops, y'all know what I'm saying. But the mind of the of an insecure person will create almost anything, because they think that someone else is trying to outslick them. They think that someone else is trying to play a game on them. And so because they think they're in a game, they're like, "Oh, you're not going to get me with that. You're not going to get me with that because I'm smarter than that. You're not going to fool me. No, sir. I'm smarter than that. I'm the detective. You're not." All this foolishness. But anyway, "Eye of the Mind" is the name of this poem. And it goes as follows. "The eye of the mind is just not what it seems. It conceives several things that are not to be believed. Beyond the sense of sight, the imagination roams through those forbidden doors that pierces your very soul. The eye of the mind is the one that's unseen. It conjures up the thoughts not found in any dream. Yet carefully it's triggered to manipulate and scheme, and plays out any game, any name, any scene. Beware. But how can we, when strategies reveal the eye of the mind is the playground that's unreal?" Whoa. Thank you very much.
Okay. Is there anything else that you want to add to the subject?
I think I did mention that I was going to share a poem called "Living Through It All," because life in and of itself is a journey of expressions that we become a part of. And the key is to be the expression of the divine, because that's really the only way to harmonize with the proper relationship. Playing mind games ain't going to get you there. Trust me. I know. So this poem is called "Living Through It." From the depth of a living source come words into the consciousness that is scripted, that is transcribed in the script. Okay. From the depth, I have a hard time saying that word. I think my mouth depth. Got like my tongue must be fat or something. I'm gonna have to lose some
depth.
Weight.
Depth.
Depth. Okay, I'm gonna try it again.
Okay, that's good enough. That's good enough.
All right. From
depth.
The depths of a living source
yes.
comes words into the consciousness that is transcribed into script. These are the expressions that are relayed from the inspiration of living through it all, never being defeated, never totally giving in, never ever selling out that which you believe in with all of your heart and soul for something of lesser value. This is living through the storm without staying in the storm. But as always, the struggle shall continue. That is the essence of living. Resistance is always a continuing factor as life continues within this current realm. Just as gravity continually has a downward pull on all things in this realm, we must forever be striving towards upper heights of life. For in it, life is living, and death is merely a beginning unknown. Where and when is much more than a matter of chance. It's the moments of choice that determine whether we win or whether we lose, for no one can live life unto themselves, and no one gets out of this life alive.
He's so silly.
Okay, I was, that part wasn't in there. Wasn't there.
Okay. No, the laugh, the spooky laugh, ladies and gentlemen, no, is not in there.
Yeah, but that's from my poetry book, Extraordinary Epiphanies of a King. You can find it on Amazon, or you can go to www.kingsphilosophy.org. And you can get a personalized copy from yours truly.
That's with his signature in it. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. All right, darling. I think I'm pretty much done with sharing. I appreciate you being here with me and helping guide me through this. Because one thing I know is true, and I'll share this with the family before we end. I have been so blessed to be with you. And in so being transparent, when times come, even in this beautiful relationship, to where I may feel a sense of doubt or trepidation, I come to you and I share that with you. I tell you the story that had been created in my own head that had nothing to do with you. But, you know, I know that story was something that was created by the adversary of what our love really is. So I sit and I look at these situations when they occur. I analyze it and I start asking myself questions about it. And I compare that to the person that I know you are. And I recognize that there's no match to that. And I'm like, Satan trying to fool me again. Gonna make me walk in there like an idiot talking about some dumb stuff. Man, I ain't falling for that. I said, get out my face. And so then I come home and I tell you what happened. Yeah, but honesty is really the best policy. You know, be transparent with your people because it builds love and character and the beauty that you have a birthright to receive. Thank you, baby, for being my baby.
You're welcome. And we're going to go ahead and call it a night. And I will leave you with this. One of the things that I realize that this subject is really more or less sort of related to what we talked about the last time on the show.
Yeah.
But when you start leading with honesty, transparency, integrity, there is something about operating in that space that begins to protect you from those who would not operate within that same vibration, because they can't even stand to be in the presence of that their energy is no longer a match for that. When you are operating in your divine purpose and your divine truth of who it is that you're looking to be, the very, very best expression of yourself, that nothing that is contrary to that. Because I know that a lot of people, a lot of people may listen to this show and say, oh, they don't know what they're talking about. Love is about a game, blah, blah, blah. But when you start operating in that space, anything contrary to that cannot enter it. It will protect you from fraudulent relationships. It will protect you from fraudulent associations. I can't, and it'll happen very quickly. All you have to do is operate in that space, always and always putting the divine ahead to reveal what it is that is happening. Even if you don't have that as your prayer, it will just start happening because they're no longer compatible with you. And that's another way to know that you are on your way to meeting individuals in all aspects of your relationships that are about the same thing too. It's about vibrating higher. And with that, I think I'm complete.
That's
anything
beautiful.
To add before
and
we
beautiful.
Go?
No, just as you're beautiful, you're just beautiful. And of course, so is our listening
okay,
audience.
Okay, family.
We love you all, people, no doubt. Thank you
okay.
for being there
we,
for
we
us.
We love you. We bless you. We love you. We bless you. We appreciate you. We thank God for you. And we know that wherever you are, God is. We'll see you next week.
Mwah.
perfect compliment, cause I'm a boss in my world. But when we're together, he just makes me feel like his girl. He's giving me love so steady. He touches my heart, now I'm ready. He touches my soul.
My soul.